O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, we had the occasion to go to Harvard Collegiate for an award ceremony that was held in the old auditorium, and the auditorium had at the back a large gallery that faced a very wide open stage. And it was decorated a big high plaster ceiling with very detailed mullions and moldings that spoke of a time when the school was put up in 1892. On the stage was an assortment of alumni and faculty and teachers and other students who were going to be handing out the awards to the recipients. On the floor, just in front of the stage, was the band that had just played the Inspiration Overture by Robert W. Smith, followed by O Canada. We were warmly welcomed by the principal, and then the VP introduced an alumnus who wished to address the crowd. And rather than going to the lectern and to the microphone, this 83-year-old retired pharmacist took center stage, and with his best outside voice and a glint in his eye, started to speak to the students. Near the end of his speech, he said these words: "If I could tell you one thing that I hope you will never forget, it would be this. When I stand in this auditorium, I am filled with memories that bring tears to my eyes. I remember all of the teachers and all of the students who helped me to learn. This is a very small school, and it's filled with a host of people who would like to help you learn. In a little while, you're going to go off to university or college, or you'll find a job in the real world, and it's so big out there. Do not let this moment pass you by. Grasp it." I'm not sure if any student heard what he had to say that day. They were probably sound asleep, but I heard it. With the glint in his eye and a smile that comes with the knowledge and embodying the wisdom of a lifetime that knows firsthand grief, but also firsthand joy, with a deep appetite for more life, he was calling in that moment a group of students to just simply hold it, grasp it, the opportunity to learn. And the more you learn, the more apt you are to bump into wisdom. And if there was one gift that he embodied on that stage that day, it was the gift of wisdom. We hear in our first reading, "Wisdom is radiant and unfading, easily discerned by those who love her, found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known to those who long for her." We hear in Scripture, in the beginning and all the way through Old Testament and New Testament, moments where we meet wisdom, Sophia, the gift of discernment and understanding, of insight and knowing. But deeper than that, Sophia was and is, from the very beginning, with God, hovering over the face of the deep, pulling creation into being, for wisdom is the breath of God, we hear. The true stream of God's glory, we hear. And it is wisdom that brings creation together. The Book of Wisdom was likely written sometime between 200 before Common Era and 150 Common Era, likely written by a Jewish scholar in Alexandria. It was a book that invited the young to discern true wisdom in becoming a leader. Do not chase after things that are fleeting, like money and status and importance, but chase after wisdom. For the one who brings and holds the thought of wisdom will find true understanding. The one who is vigilant on her account will live without care. Or as John Lennon would put it, when I was 5, my mother said, happiness is the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me, what do you want to be? And I said, happy. And they said, you don't understand the assignment. And I said, you don't understand life. Grasp it. If you could see the joy and the wonder of an 83-year-old retired pharmacist standing amongst young people, teaching them in a moment, remember this moment. Grasp it. Wisdom brings all life into being. Or put another way, on November the 9th, 1989, 28 years ago this last week, the Berlin Wall came tumbling down. And many historians will, for generations to come, debate on how it happened in such a forceful way, but many say what the catalyst was one word spoken by Günther Jabowski, an East German bureaucrat who was doing a televised interview, relaying to the crowd and to the audience how the changes in passing from one side of the border would happen, that there would be greater movement from east to west, but still regulated. He was asked a very simple question, when is this going to happen? And he fumbled it. He was looking down in his notes, trying to find the date that was to mark the beginning, and he couldn't find it. It was supposed to say November the 10th. Instead, he looked up and said, right now. And tens of thousands of Germans on both sides of the wall moved and took that literally and grasped the moment and moved to the wall. Harold Jaeger, who was one of the centurions at one of the passing posts, said he saw the crowd coming, phoned his superior and said, what do I do? And the superior said, let them through carefully. But instead, he just opened the gate because there were too many. Men and women and children in that moment seized that day to pass through a wall that had once separated them, a wall that cut through neighborhoods and literally through living rooms, that separated family for a generation. And they took hammer and sledge and shovel and bare hands to tear down a wall that had divided them for too long. Wedding feasts that were happening on the east side moved their parties to the west. Jaeger said even some of the bridesmaids left their bouquets behind for us. Grasp it. And speaking of bridesmaids and bridegrooms, we are invited in chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew to consider the bridesmaids. Matthew, more than any of the other synoptic gospels, spends a lot of time with the idea of apocalypse and the coming of the end time and the coming of the kingdom of God, and most of those images are unsettling, like today. We are invited inside an image of 10 bridesmaids whose only task is to announce the coming of the bridegroom and to announce the beginning of the feast. But the bridegroom is delayed. That, by my experience, is not unusual. I cannot tell you how many weddings get off to a very slow start. Sometimes it's the bridegroom, sometimes it's the bride. But you know who makes most weddings late? The photographer. It is the photographer who is pining for that last image that makes the wedding feast late. We do not discern whether they are foolish or wise until they wake up, because they've been waiting for a long time, and we hear that some 5 are wise and some are foolish. The wise have brought extra oil, and the foolish have not brought enough. And the foolish ask the wise for some of theirs, and the wise say, go and get your own. And they go off to the shop to get their own, but by the time they come back, the wedding feast has begun, the door is shut. And the sobering moment comes when the five at the door plead and say, let us in. And the Lord of the feast says, I don't know you. Now, if you live your life with the motto of the Boy Scouts, be prepared, then actually this is a pretty good story for you. You are always ready and on guard to do your duty. But if you're like the rest of us, many of us need help just getting through the day. We need help from colleagues and friends and family who support us and help us and make decisions for us, ones that we don't even think of. If you are a parent of young children, you know how hard it is to prepare just a backpack with the right things, of sweater, of an extra hat, of mitts, of gloves. It's no wonder parents are so exhausted. There is a sobering moment in this telling, because at first glance it sounds like there are some who are in and some who are out, some who are welcomed and some who are pushed away. But maybe there is more at work in this telling, that maybe this is really a story about our pursuit for what Mr. Reuben knew and knows on that stage, and what our first reading compels us to hear, to chase after wisdom. What makes us wise? If you're anything like me, wisdom comes most often when we've blown it, when we've made a mistake, when we know firsthand what it means to be shut out, when we know what it means to be hurt and not recognized. And we vow in those moments never to let that happen to us again, and we learn from them, and we discern somehow wisdom's presence in our life. What makes these bridesmaids even more wise is that they allow the five foolish to fail. One of the most difficult things to do as a parent is to allow our children to fail, to make a mistake, to suffer. How easy it is for us to be like helicopter parents, just holding and protecting. And yet wisdom and resilience only comes when we allow ourselves to make the mistake and learn on our own wisdom that calls us to true happiness. What makes us foolish is that we sometimes rely on others to take responsibility for us, that we rely on others for our own salvation. And we only understand when we allow God, by God's grace, to teach us wisdom's way. I find it compelling that our cathedral ancestors took this story and emblazoned it in stained glass. If you haven't found it already, it's up near the altar on this side, bottom right-hand corner. It's a beautiful pictorial of the 10 bridesmaids, five of them who are foolish in the foreground and the five wise in the background. Actually, if you live or sit in front of it long enough, you'll see that each bridesmaid is actually a picture of our own journey from being fully asleep to becoming fully awake, that this story compels us to become wise and watchful and awake for those moments when God calls us to show up on behalf of wisdom's sake and of the gospel. But for today, what of the poor five foolish who stand somehow outside with the door shut? What of them? It was to the likes of them that Paul was speaking in his letter to the Thessalonians. The community in Thessalonica was so worried that when Jesus was coming again, that somehow those that they loved, their family members who had predeceased them, would be separated from them in death. And Paul invites us to step in and to grasp a picture of a truth informed by wisdom, that we cling to that very thing that is called hope, that in Jesus who traverses death into life, that we too ride those coattails into the new existence of life, not separated by those we love, but somehow united. May God grant you the wisdom, the grace, the patience, the creativity, the wakefulness to meet Christ this week as Christ comes to you in the face of the poor, the rich, the hungry, the haughty, and the lonely. Amen.